Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, and welcome to part two of this week's The One Show Show, TTOS for short. We thought we'd been really clever and recorded everything we needed to record when we were in our studio, but we didn't. If you've not listened to part one, you might want to start with that, but this is part two of this week's TTOS with John Holmes, Mark Haynes and Craig Parkinson. Enjoy! Apologies for this bit.
Now, what John and Greg, what's their relationship?
They don't like each other, do they? It's weird. They mentioned in the course of it, they went, we have very separate lives, very separate shows. And it's like, why would that even come out? Unless you were like, I want to make it clear, me and him, we're not, he's not my fucking mate. And that was what Tarode was really, really pushing.
He's a greengrocer.
I'm a chef.
He's a fucking greengrocer. I'm marrying a woman who was in Spooks season one. Thank you.
And she's much younger than your wife.
And, you know, we're very different people. We have different likes, different wants, different things, and we live different lives to each other. But we... Well, if I look at him and I see a little tear in his eye...
MasterChef is a show that is always very, very boring when they talk about it. It's really difficult to say, yeah, you know, the food's great. And again, Matt and Alex were asking such bad questions.
Yeah.
Is it hard to say that food from abroad is nice if you don't know what that food is like? John Tarode's like, oh, geez, tastes nice. Yeah. You know, what can you say?
But also, why do they have to go on to promote MasterChef? It's like, MasterChef's like an institution. Like, yeah. If you watch it, you watch it, and you know, how do you sell a show like that? Right, we've got some people coming on, they're going to cook for food, I'm going to get rid of a few.
Done.
See ya. That's it. What else can you talk about?
We're going to need two separate kids.
And they had that whole thing about school dinners as well. John, who's Australian, hadn't ever heard of school dinners.
Never heard of packed lunches.
I didn't really. No, he used to take a packed lunch. No, he used to take a packed lunch.
Did he? Do you know what? That was something I'd learned and I totally listened to the wrong
bit.
The
other way around. In Australia, they don't have packed lunches. He used to just take sandwiches.
You got that wrong there, which is going to be very confusing.
They
don't have packed lunches.
No, they do have packed lunches.
So he took sandwiches in.
So we take
the piss out of John and Greg. Actually, it's not as easy as it looks.
This is live. It's really hard. All right, they don't have school dinners in Australia, right? So that he got confused with Greg explaining that the best bit of a pudding to get was the corner of it. And then they had an audience of school dinner?
Yes, chef of the year.
That's right.
Again, are we watching Partridge?
Smooth link.
Greg's advice to those dinner ladies was a simple one. They said, what advice would you give to the dinner ladies? And Greg's advice was, you can't smash it unless you own it.
What are you talking about?
Oddly, that's our family motto.
They have a real passion and love for what they do. As you know, you can't smash it unless you own it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And look, Beverly Knight. Can we talk about Beverly Knight?
Yeah, let's talk about Beverly Knight.
She was great.
But when you've been doing this for like 20 years, let's take a look at one of your old songs. Never heard of it, mate. No one's ever heard of that song.
But it's true. 25 years.
Well, tell you what, let's see where it all began.
Oh, God.
Yeah, sorry.
What happiness we're bringing. good memories.
Yeah.
And then, like, no one's heard. Who is your music for?
And then Matt
Who's your favourite artist, Beverly Knight? No, it's not.
Matt said, you're doing a 25th anniversary gig. Are you going to be playing that song there? And she went, yeah. And he went, oh, brilliant. Brilliant. What are we doing? What's happening here? Jesus.
There was
Christ.
A lovely Stevie Wonder anecdote from Alex, though, wasn't there, as well? When Beverly Knight got into a... Also, why is it that every guest they have has been to Prince's house?
Yes.
What's like the third or fourth guest I've known about this? Oh, I went to Prince's. Does Prince just invite, when he was alive, all of people from The One Show round to his purple house?
Prince, you know this, Prince used to get a list of who was going to be in The One Show in 2 years' time. He liked to be ahead of the curve.
When she was talking about, so I've just had my portrait done for this show, the portrait artist of the year, and they did it really well. I chose the winner and said, oh, you're going to take it home? Yeah, I'm going to hang it up in my house, really proud. And then someone went, well, let's take a look back at your career. And she went, oh no. You fucking love it, Knights. You love it. Please, let's talk about the Stevie Wonder anecdote. Oh. That was one of my favourite bits.
So she had, when she was a kid, she said she used to sing bits of Stevie Wonder at school or whatever, and then Alex just sort of said, and you know they've talked about this in advance. Have you ever met Stevie Wonder?
Yeah.
Yes, at Prince's house was the thing. And then,
I mean, I suppose the other thing is, if you ask that, most people are going to go, no. And then you go, right, reset. So, how are you doing? You know, so they must have asked her about it.
Of course. So she then said, yeah, I met him once. And obviously that was her big anecdote, that she was, such a hero. And I met him and it was amazing. And I was doing backing vocals and at Prince's house. And he came up and it was, and then Alex said, Matt and I have sung with Stevie Wonder. And I was thinking, well, because I don't know, explain that. Mm. They didn't, obviously. So we don't know why. But then she just sort of said, and afterwards he grabbed my arm and he just said, I sure hope you're pretty.
But she also tried to do the American accent.
Yes, she did it as a Welsh
hybrid.
Right, I can argue my accents, but yeah, absolutely.
God, we sang with him, didn't we? And he pitched it really high, happy birthday. And at the end, he grabbed my hand like this and he went, I sure hope you're pretty.
And then they all laughed so much because he's blind. They all laughed and laughed.
But then Matt Baker's all went, oh yes, like some sort of exasperating granddad at a funeral going, she's going off again with the Stevie Wonder anecdotes.
That hour, they've got to fill an hour.
Yeah.
So they just drag everything out.
It was a really, really slow episode.
It was a film about tomatoes.
There was, yeah. With a man being pro-Brexit in it, and then they didn't put a counterpoint on it.
That's
so,
right.
Dear BBC,
yes,
I shall be complaining.
That was the Vox Pop, dry the tomatoes in the street. Where a man, what town were they in? I can't remember.
Faversham or somewhere.
Provincial.
I can't remember.
And a man had made his own tomatoes. They were British tomatoes. Not this foreign muck.
A deep brown tomato that tastes of compost and loft lagging. Lovely.
And they were testing them against vine tomatoes from fucking Europe. And a bloke in the street had just got something in a bot, and he just said, so we did a one show experiment, and he was standing in a marketplace, and he said, we've got the local tomatoes, these vine tomatoes in a green box, and the blue box is the European. We asked the local people what tomatoes they preferred, and he started shouting, come and try the one show tomatoes. Three people.
Really?
And great success.
Two, and there was no.
Be quick before they go. Come and try your tomatoes for the one show.
What do you think?
Amazing. Yeah, super.
Juicy.
Which one do you prefer?
The green one.
The blue one.
You prefer the green, eh?
Yeah, the green one.
Two-thirds of people favoured the tomatoes grown locally, and there was plenty of surprise when we revealed those in the green basket came from just down the road.
Nice to have English on my doorstep.
Yeah, it's nice to have our own.
So why worry about Brexit?
even every shot of people trying tomatoes, just one at a time at this stall. No crowds, nothing. No one wanted the one show's tomatoes. And then he just said, after three people, he went, and two went, oh, I like those. And he went, well, our experiment shows that 2/3 of the people, he goes, you just have three people. Oh. And then you're right, Brexit man turned up and he just went...
Who just goes to show that, you know, Brexit is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because two people have had a tomato. It was an odd piece because they couldn't quite work out what they were saying with it. And they were going, look, this guy is growing tomatoes. But the guy growing tomatoes was going, yeah, but there's no way that I can grow enough tomatoes to feed the whole of Britain. We do rely on exports. And then they sort of go, well, actually, 35% of our tomatoes are grown in... 35 is not a high percentage. And it just didn't quite know what where its feet were.
Did you see... I wrote this down as another contender for dullest segment of the week. This was the River Ribble in Lancashire.
Yes. Do you know, I watched that twice and I went back...
Twice.
Well, I went back to go, what's this about? And again, it finished. And I thought, oh, it's gone. It's finished. I haven't taken it in. Some rivers are dirty. Is that seems to be it.
And we're in Lancashire, so they're northern. They must be scum. and I say that being slightly northern scum myself. Yeah, that was really weird and dull. And I think I got up and went and brushed my teeth and then came back because it was just so boring. I went, it's going to carry on for a bit. It's just like, there's loads of plastic in there. And it's a bit dirty. Don't go in.
Yeah.
And what are you doing swimming in there?
Yeah.
He was a lunatic.
Yeah. Crazy. And they sort of went back and Ricky Gervais, I think they sort of said to Kerry Godliman, you do a lot of like wild swimming, don't you? So it must be worrying. She went, yeah, it's horrible. And Ricky's like, no, don't be silly. You know, you've got to drink an awful lot of it to actually get ill. Oh, well, that's made the last 3 minutes redundant. Yes, mate.
But she also went, well, not anymore. I'm not going anymore swimming.
As we've often surmised on this podcast, right, we're still trying to work this out. We've had Jay Rayner's been on, you know, from the show. We've had people sort of who do know how it works. And we still not quite got to the bottom of whether or not they say to the guests, what else do you do? And then try and match that up with a film off a shelf.
Mm.
So if Kerry Godliman sort of went, oh, I sometimes go swimming in a pond in Hampstead Heath or whatever she does. And they've got, database. Have we got a film about someone who swims in a river?
Yeah. God, I hadn't thought about that.
And then that's how they do it. So
that is how they do it.
I think so.
They must be, mustn't it?
It's the vaguest link possible. So otherwise, you're just chancing your arm. If they've gone out this week and filmed an open water swimming thing, to say to Kerry Godliman, you like open water swimming?
Oh, have I done a bit of open water swimming?
Didn't they do that thing with Greg Wallace where they went, now, Greg, you like history, don't you?
Oh, and he went, yeah. That was a brilliant bit. And then Beverly Knight went, I like history. It was like Jerry Halliwell going, I love reading.
What a passion project. I mean, you're well into your history anyway, aren't you, Greg?
I'm a real history buff. Yeah, I think that.
Me too. I love history.
Do you? I think that's fantastic, do you, Bev?
Love history.
Any particular era? Sorry, I don't want to say
that. Victorian. Carry on.
Victorian history.
Victorian history.
Right.
Love.
Okay. All right, well, that's a bit of living history they've got there. Yeah. I mean, that's phenomenal.
We could get you on the One Show to do a little Victorian history film. Fancy it, Bev.
I'd love that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You're sorted. Deal. Done.
Oh, perfect.
So this is what...
But that led to a really long piece about the rebuilding of some kind of military vehicle.
Yeah.
That was found in a scrapyard.
One of our favourite presenters, though, Christine.
Yes, she
Christine
is.
Christine was in charge of it.
She is great. Every time I see her, she reminds me of poet. Is he Ian McMillan?
Yes.
Every time I see Christine, I go, oh, Ian McMillan's... No, it's Christine. Every time. They look identical.
She throws herself into it, Christine. We really like Christine.
I think she's really natural.
Natural, engaging.
I bump into her at the post office or watch her on the One Show. You know, it's the type of person that
exactly
you would see.
That. And now they put some overalls on her and she's in a scrapyard finding a military vehicle, that a hunk of metal that's incredibly rare. And it was some three piloted, what's the word for it? It was
an armoured car.
It was a kind of armoured car, but it was used in D-Day, wasn't it, I think? It wasn't a tank or anything, but it was an armoured small vehicle.
I'm at Rush Green Motors in Stevenage, where proprietor Bruv, as he's affectionately known, has one of those fighting vehicles to show me.
Blimey!
Yeah, Morris Light Reconnaissance.
This piece of twisted metal does have four wheels, but apart from that, it's unrecognisable.
That vehicle has been here probably since the 50s. That's been here since I was a boy.
Yeah, it was a hunk of rusting metal.
You're overselling what was there.
It was
some twisted metal that was probably, you know, about, I don't know, 30 centimetres across and maybe a metre long. And you wouldn't have looked at it and gone, oh, we'll rebuild that. It's a bit like finding a car key and going, well, I've got that bit, so I can now build this Range Rover at Vogue.
Well, that more or less is what happened, because I was watching it and they got this bloke and his daughter in who specialised in restoring old vehicles. To work, but it was another film that took them a year to do.
Yeah.
So the first section was that we've got this bit of metal in the scrapyard. We'll come back in a year to see if you've restored it. And we know the perils of this because during Jay Rayner was on this podcast. He was talking about he buried some butter in a bog.
Oh God, the butter, the bog butter. Fucking great episode.
and he had to go back in a year. And they haven't written down where it was.
No.
So you can go back and listen to that if you haven't on.
It's also good because the man who was the key person in that, when they filmed it the first time, he was about 95, which seemed like a bit of a gamble to do a big two-parter over a year.
As I watched it, though, and they were going, well, we need to get this. We can't get the parts for this anymore, so we've got to actually build the parts ourselves. It was basically the Triggers broom of vehicles.
Yeah.
It was just everything about it was new. And the one bit that they could point to, the one bit when it was, they did restore it,
yeah,
and it drove out of their garage 18 months later, and you go, that looks nothing like the bit of metal there.
But when they went, but we've, see this lock here, yes, we've restored this lock, she's done a very good job, and it works. Yeah. Oh, fucking well done! we threw everything else away.
Yeah, the original bit, it wasn't even the lock, it was the mechanism inside the lock.
That's right!
And that was all that was original.
It came in and out.
And it looked worse than anything else on the machine.
But that's how you can tell it's authentic. Look, I mean, it's very old.
The way it cuts your hand when you get near it.
Oh. Hello there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oddly, I think the one thing I didn't do there was I was waiting for the A-Team music where they do that thing where it bursts out of a sort of shed and you built it out.
But that, yeah,
that's too much fun. People died at D-Day.
But when they were talking, going back to the history, when Greg went to Beverly Knight, also, what's your favourite period in history? And she went, Victorian. Or put on the spot. And then Alex goes, you should have your own show. You should do a Victorian show. Pitching a show with Beverly Knight on Victorian history.
Again.
Big Wigs upstairs going, fucking Beverly Knight's on for a history show. Get her on quick. She's on, she only does Jules Holland once a year. That's all she's ever on.
So the River film, that this was the River Ribble in Lancashire.
Uh-huh.
And they introduced it by saying their usual switch off moment, which, by the way, that noise was Mark having a suck of a vape, in case you wonder what that was.
It wasn't the River Ribble going over the beautiful cold cobbles of, as you get cobbles in a river, they've been dumped there. This is why they've made the film. It's a problem.
It was that thing where they just went, well, you know, the one show we do a lot about plastic, and I just went, oh, fucking hell. You know, I've had some months off watching this, and it's still they're going on about bloody plastic in water. But then they turned it into this open water swimmer, and then they asked somebody who was looking after the river what's the worst thing he'd found in the river. Right, and I think he said it was a dead sheep or something, I think.
Yeah,
but they missed a trick, because that should have been another, what they're now calling a call out, by the way.
Yes.
What's the worst thing you've ever found in a river?
That would be
and
great.
And they didn't get that. And I just sort of wanted to go, well, Laura from Warwick, she's been in touch to say she once saw a human shit floating in the River Avon. Missed the entire trick.
What's the worst thing you've ever found is a great texter. I wish we had a text console and that this was going out live. Oh. Just quickly, what's the worst thing you've ever found? Jesus Christ. Did you see the earlier episode, probably last Friday's, with Jerry Horner and Rob Beckett?
God, I wish I had. I only started on Monday.
Oh, I don't blame you. But they they started it with a thing that we've missed, and it's part of Comic Relief going up Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah.
And so Ori Aduba said, we're going to be talking about the Kilimanjaro 9. And I thought, oh, no, another sort of wrongful conviction. I was really glad I missed this. I mean, it looked like the Children in Need bikes thing.
Yes.
And I think they've seen how keen Matt is on that, and they've sort of gone, let's give him, you know, we do this really well. We do this better than, we do plastics and long distance charity.
Yeah.
Those are the two things we do.
Matt Baker, I mean, just loves that stuff. So, I mean, when's Comic Relief? It must be coming up very soon.
Yeah,
so
I think it's end of March.
So
yeah.
Now we're back into us having to watch the one show for this. I'm guessing that's going to be feeding in quite
a lot. We'll see.
I had an idea that we should do this in a tie-in with the one show for Comic Relief.
Yeah.
Because if we said to the one show, so if anyone's listening from the one show, right, because you could kind of do it, you know, just properly.
All we need to do is be allowed to be just taking over Radio 1 for the best part of an hour.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
That's all you want. Getting this on while the one show's happening live.
Yeah.
We could just have a go at it.
We could get Stacey Dooley on as a guest. And then berate her. There was a little bit where Jodie Whittaker threw to a video within the piece. So she was not in the studio, but it was a Comic Relief recorded thing. And she sort of went, I want you to meet, you know, someone who's just so inspirational. Her name is Rose and she's from Kenya. And then it cut to a story about a woman who's working in Kenya. And I thought, I bet Jodie Whittaker was sitting by her phone that night waiting for the texts to come in, off, you know, going, oh, I hope I don't get Stacey Dooley'd.
If you've ever wondered whether your money really makes a difference to people, then let me introduce you to an amazing woman called Rose. Even in the toughest of circumstances, sometimes it takes just one person to transform the lives of many.
It's funny, I mean, as soon as you get into that sort of Comic Relief thing on the one show, it's just a massive turn-off. They do it so earnestly.
Yeah.
I find the charity stuff on the one show, it really, really puts me off all charity and kindness and helping.
And if the one show has achieved nothing else in its time, it's just losing money for people who need it most.
One last thing on that show that I loved was, it was St. David's Day, and so Alex did, she basically taught Ori Aduba to say Happy St. David's Day in Welsh. And he gave it a go, and she sort of went, oh, well, you know, not great, but, you know, that'll do. You're going to be speaking Welsh. She said, and you know what we went through downstairs? And there was such a big pause. I thought she was going to say, you know what the Welsh went through, don't you? No blacks, no Irish, no dogs, no all-male singing choirs. Oh, the prejudice. But no, it was just her being professional. She just had a pause.
Happy St. David's Day to everybody in Wales and outside of Wales. We're Welsh. Now, remember what we went through downstairs.
Yes, we didn't work.
Are you ready?
This.
Get it right now.
Gawl dewi hapus.
Deed good day we happy. I mean, nearly good effort. Good effort.
We'll do for Friday night. Right?
It's all right.
Speaking of choirs, we should also mention that in back to that Grenfell film.
Mm.
There were several things in that Grenfell film, but it all culminated in what's his name? Gareth Malone.
Gareth Malone,
who does these choir programs. But he's got, and it was, I thought it was brilliant. They got this school that was in the shadow of Grenfell, and these kids, and some of the kids from the school had died in the fire, so they got these children.
Who were deeply affected by the tragedy.
Hugely
affected.
But he'd gone in to work with them to, you know, do these songs.
Almost like a bit of therapy, wasn't it?
It was. It was exactly that. And the kids had written the stuff. One of the girls they got on there, whose name was Lyric, for a start,
nice.
Came up with this amazingly moving song.
Oh, she was brilliant.
Wasn't it good?
It was ripped. But like you said before about one of those other VTs, I would have preferred that like an hour long at like 8:30 on BBC One, put a bit of money into it and go a bit deeper instead of however long. It felt very long. The VT.
But
this, we could have done something a bit better with this, even though it was brilliant, but it was the tip of the iceberg.
Although saying that, I mean, I think it's a BBC one programme about the whole thing, isn't it?
In which case, they showed too much
yeah.
of
yeah.
what the BBC One show is, because that seemed to be, when you're doing magazine shows, you can't really go, well, let's put in the cliffhanger, let's put in the best bit right at the end. You know, you can't put in the most emotional moment of the thing, yeah. which they did. So it was long, but out of context, so you didn't build up to it. A strange decision.
It looks fantastic. It's going to be a great documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they ended the show, which they always do quite cleverly, not least for the timing of it. So they got the choir in, some of the kids from this school, to sing another song another kid had written. Yeah. And they'd obviously rehearsed it very well. But I was watching the clocks. I was watching it on iPlayer. You watched it live, didn't you?
I watched it live on Monday night.
Right, and that was enough.
And then I had to download the iPlayer app on my phone, and I watched Wednesday in two halves. I got back from the theatre last night and went, oh, fuck. Of course, it wasn't John Holmes' own work today. Come on, then, Greg.
There we go. But they did that thing, and I was watching the countdown, and there's like, you know, a minute and a half left, and they hadn't even started the song, and I'm thinking, they're never going to get out on time for this. But they did. They hit it, and they nailed it, bang on.
Yeah.
And it was really good, and it reminded me, you know when films like School of Rock or something have a kids choir, a kid performance at the end, and it's quite a moving thing.
Yeah,
it was like that, but it was a microcosm of it, and I was like, I was really impressed.
The funny thing is, it's always the way, isn't it? The best things on the One show are things that you could actually watch half an hour of.
Yeah.
But when they've got half an hour, they'll put that in 15 minutes, and then the other 15 minutes you hate. If anyone was working in television, why don't you try and pitch a show where you go, it's like the One show, but it's fully good. It doesn't flag at the start, and it just, you know...
It's not a bit shit.
Yeah.
The other bit as well, where in that Grenfell film, where the man was moving house, and it was about how long he'd waited to get into this new property.
Yeah, 20 months.
That's right. And they'd managed to salvage some of his belongings from the wreckage of Grenfell. They showed this vase that he got, that he said his friend had given him years ago, and they got this vase. And then at the end of the film, you know, they came off the back of it in that sort of, you know, voice an octave down to make it show that it's serious, kind of a bit of presenting. And then they said, well, he's in his new house, as you know, and he sent us a photo of himself watching the One show. And I'm thinking, hasn't he suffered enough? But then Matt said, and look, there's the vase he was talking about in front of the telly. It was a different vase.
It was not the same vase.
Matt. Oh, wouldn't it be good if it was a reflective vase and you could just see his dick and balls?
Now, you'll have to go back and check this to make sure I'm not going mad. But I did, and I went back twice to watch this little bit.
Yeah.
And it was the Greg Wallace episode, and I'm pretty sure that Alex went, so, Reg, and called him Reg.
And I went,
wait, what the fuck? And I was on my phone. I went, just let me wind back. And I went back too far, so I had to watch even more again, which was torturous. And they went, so, Reg. So she either swallowed the G or genuinely just went, so, Reg, and called him Reg.
Oh, do you know, whereabouts was that?
It was in, like, the final bit. Right, just before Lang Lang. Before, around... just before Lang Lang. Come on, Lang Lang, come on. Some bamboo suits. But just before Lang Lang, and it was around the... You like history, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you like history? It was around that time, so you've got to go back and check it, definitely.
Right, this brings us almost to the end. Any other business, Mark Haynes?
I did like, there was a little piece that went on for seemingly ever, that was about the side effects of medication. Where they met a load of elderly people and tricked them at the end of their lives by giving them vitamin C and they basically...
Well, you're a liar.
Yes. They'd basically given them a list of symptoms they may get from taking this pill, which is vitamin C. And a load of them said, yeah, I got the symptoms so bad I had to stop taking it. But there was a bloke who said a line, which I loved so much. So he said... I don't have side effects because I don't read about the side effects because I only read the side effects if I think I've got the side effects. Hearing him do it, I was like, wow, that's like one of those things where in the 70s, that would have been an act where you say difficult things and people cheer.
Any other business?
Not from me.
All right, you've had enough now. Are you ever going to watch it again?
Unless I have to come back on this.
Just for that reason, I'm going to make you do. all right, I think there that brings us, not neatly, but certainly in some way, to the end of this. If you have well, have the means to rate and review, please do. We'll be back next week. Tell your friends about this podcast, because apparently it really helps us. Or you could tell the people you hate and subject them to the horrors of The One Show. As long as we put ears on seats, we don't care. Whatever you do, though, remember this. When you look at the television to look at The One Show, The One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont, and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both. Oh,
fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi. Oi. Oi.
It's fucking Crime Club.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.